Okay, you can open to Deuteronomy chapter 2. If you want to stand as we read it, be appropriate as long as you can stand. Deuteronomy chapter 2. Then we turned and set out for the wilderness by the way to the Red Sea, as the Lord spoke to me, and circled Mount Seir for many days. And the Lord spoke to me, saying, You have circled this mountain long enough. Now turn north and command the people, saying, You will pass through the territory of your brothers, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, and they will be afraid of you. So be very careful, do not provoke them, for I will not give you any of their land, even as little as a footstep, because I have given Mount Seir to Esau as a possession. You shall buy food from them with money so that you may eat, and you shall also purchase water from them with money so that you may drink. For the Lord your God has blessed you in all that you have done. He has known your wanderings through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have not lacked a thing. So we passed beyond our brothers, the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, away from the Arabah road, away from Eleth and from Ezan Gabir. And we turned and passed through by the way of the wilderness of Moab. Then the Lord said to me, Do not harass Moab, nor provoke them to war, for I will not give you any of their land as a possession, because I have given Ar to the sons of Lot as a possession. The Emim lived there formerly, a people as great, numerous, and tall as the Anakim. Like the Anakim, they are also regarded as Rephaim, but the Moabites call them Emim. The Horites formerly lived in Seir, but the sons of Esau dispossessed them and destroyed them from before them and settled in their place, just as Israel did to the land of their possession, which the Lord gave to them. Now arise and cross over the brook Zered yourselves. So we crossed over the brook Zered. Now the time that it took for us to come from Kadesh Barnea until we crossed over the brook Zered was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war perished from within the camp, as the Lord had sworn to them. Moreover, the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from within the camp until they all perished. So it came about, when all the men of war had finally perished from among the people, that the Lord spoke to me, saying, You shall cross over Ar, the border of Moab, today. And when you come opposite the sons of Ammon, do not harass them nor provoke them, for I will not give you any of the land of the sons of Ammon as a possession, because I have given it to the sons of Lot as a possession. It is also regarded as the land of the Rephaim, for the Rephaim formerly lived in it, but the Ammonites call them Zamzumim, a people as great, numerous, and tall as the Anakim. But the Lord destroyed them before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place, just as he did for the sons of Esau, who live in Seir, when he destroyed the Horites from before them, and they dispossessed them and settled in their place even to this day. And the Avim who lived in the villages as far as Gaza, the Captorim who came from Captor, destroyed them and lived in their place. Arise, set out, and pass through the valley of Arnon. Look, I have given Sihon, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land into your hand. Begin to take possession and contend with him in battle. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the peoples everywhere under the heavens, who when they hear the report of you shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. So I sent messengers from the wilderness of Kedemoth to Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through your land. I will travel only on the highway. I will not turn aside to the right or to the left. You will sell me food for money so that I may eat, and give me water for money so that I may drink. Only let me pass through on foot, just as the sons of Esau who live in Seir and the Moabites who live in Ar did for me, until I cross over the Jordan into the land which the Lord our God is giving to us. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, was not willing for us to pass through his land. For the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate in order to deliver him into your hand as he is today. And the Lord said to me, see, I have begun to deliver Sion and his land over to you. Begin to occupy that you may possess his land. Then Sion with all his people came out to meet us in battle at Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him over to us, and we defeated him with his sons and all his people. So we captured all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men, women, and children of every city. We left no survivor. We took only the animals as our booty and the spoil of the cities which we had captured, from Arar, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, and from the city which is in the valley, even to Gilead, where there was no city that was too high for us. The Lord our God delivered all over to us. Only you did not go near to the land of the sons of Ammon, all along the river Jabbok, in the cities of the hill country, and wherever the Lord our God had commanded us. Thus reads the word of God. You may be seated. Deuteronomy 2:30. But Sion, king of Heshbon, was not willing for us to pass through his land, for the Lord your God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate in order to deliver him into your hand as he is today. This morning, we have a most interesting chapter to consider. In it, we have the travels of the chosen nation of God going forward toward the promised land. The first generation had died off, and the second generation was on the verge of receiving the inheritance that had been given to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob all those centuries earlier. The nation, forged by the wilderness experience under God's provision and protection and direction, was about to cross the Jordan River to inhabit Canaan land. As they were traveling toward that territory that was beckoning them through these ages, the Lord directed them to avoid conflict with a number of other inhabitants of the land over which they were traveling. God was very specific in detailing the peoples that were not to be attacked nor provoked, because they were living in territory that the Lord God Almighty had previously given to them. We read several accounts from the Lord as to how he had given the many years removed cousins and other relations the land that they had won in battle from the other peoples that the Lord had dispossessed. This shows that the Israelites were not the first people whom God had placed within lands as he so determined for them. The fact is, the earth belongs to its creator, and the Lord chose which people would dwell in which territories as detailed in this chapter of Deuteronomy. He is the sovereign Lord of all, and what he determines and puts into action is the course of the history of the humanity which he created. This must never be minimized nor forgotten as we look at the means by which nation after nation was moved by God to accomplish his will. It is all becomes a matter of how his will is clearly displayed on this earth. Nothing is just happenstance, nor is anything just the whim of probability. God directs nation after nation to bring about the course of his plan and his purpose to the fulfillment of his glory. All will happen throughout the whole universe only as he directs and as he manifests. That is why we come to the passage of this morning with the knowledge that what Sion, king of Heshbon, refused to do with regard to the safe passage of the children of Israel was in exact accordance with the plan and the purpose of God. You see, the land that Sion's people inhabited was part of that Transjordan territory that was to be given to the nation of Israel. All those other nations, which the Israelites were told to bypass, were not dwelling within their land of promise. Heshbon, however, did fall into the territory that was part of the children of Israel's course to inhabit. It would be given to the people through conquest, showing the power of God and instilling fear into those other nations that were across the Jordan River. This was the means by which God would begin to bring into place the habitation of the promised land, with the elimination of those people who were so wicked and defiled and corrupt in their hearts toward the holiness of God. In line with this, the Lord hardened the heart of Sion, in order that he would choose to begin to fight against the Lord's people and thereby become their first conquest. This was the manner in which God accomplished the setting up of the nation of Israel as to bring terror into the hearts of those who would soon be conquered. It was the evidence that God was going before his people, and he was fighting the battle for them, even in the minds and the conscious thoughts of those who were to be dispossessed because of their wickedness. This was not the first time that God did so with the heart and mind of mankind, as we well know. We can hearken back to the fact that Pharaoh, the leader of the then most powerful nation of the world, would have his heart so hardened by the Lord. This was in order to show the power and the might and the awesome deliverance that God would bring forth in order to have his people released with all the treasures of Egypt that they could carry. The Lord even made this known to Moses before he was sent back to Egypt, if you will recall, as recorded in Exodus 4:21. Exodus 4:21, "And the Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." Moses went to Egypt knowing that the Lord would do all that was necessary to deliver his people despite the worst that Pharaoh would bring against God. Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world at that time, did not honor God, but would resist with every fiber of his ability in order to try to sway God from the deliverance of his people. Even after Moses and Aaron did all the wonders of the plagues before the nation of Israel in the eyes of Pharaoh, it would not move that king to release the children of Israel. All of this was because God so hardened the king's heart to stand against the will of the Lord, as we have reiterated in Exodus 11:10. Exodus 11:10. "And Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of his land." It was not until the Passover had been accomplished that the children of Israel were released to go forth unto the promised land. The Passover instituted the type of sacrifice that was going to be necessary to release hard-hearted humanity from the slavery of sin and death. This freedom is for all who believe in and call upon the name of Jesus Christ. even after the Passover, with the death of all the firstborn of Egypt, God again hardened the heart of Pharaoh to go forth with his chariots to chase the Israelites. God knew that it would take that threat of that army to cause this stubborn people, whom he had chosen and whom he had released from their slavery, to flee across the dried passage of the Red Sea unto his deliverance in the wilderness. Returning then back to the course of this morning's consideration, Joshua, in Joshua 11, 19 and 20, laid out the plan and the purpose of why God so hardened the hearts of those nations that were dispossessed. He detailed exactly how and why those nations were dealt with by the Lord, hardening their hearts in order to bring them unto the destruction that was their just judgment before the holiness of God. Joshua 11, 19 and 20. There was not a city which made peace with the sons of Israel except the Hivites living in Gibeon. They took them all in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts to meet Israel in battle in order that he might utterly destroy them, that they might receive no mercy, but that he might destroy them just as the Lord had commanded Moses. It was not just the hearts of the nations to be dispossessed that had hard hearts toward the Lord. The children of Israel themselves were obstinately defiant unto the Lord and his commandments. They dealt faithlessly with the Lord God Almighty, who was their Savior. We hear this in the words of God, pronounced through the prophet Isaiah, as recorded in Isaiah 48, 1 through 7. This is in detail in dealing with that nation that had so turned away from Jehovah. Please open to Isaiah 48, 1 through 7, so we can read it together. Isaiah 48, verses 1 through 7. Hear this, O house of Jacob, who are named Israel, and who come forth from the loins of Judah, who swear by the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel, but not in truth nor in righteousness. For they call themselves after the holy city and lean on the God of Israel. The Lord of hosts is his name. I declared the former things long ago, and they went forth from my mouth, and I proclaimed them. Suddenly I acted, and they came to pass, because I know that you are obstinate, and your neck is an iron sinew, and your forehead bronze. Therefore I declared them to you long ago, before they took place, I proclaimed them to you, lest you should say, my idol has done them, and my graven image, and my molten image have commanded them. You have heard. Look at all this. And you, will you not declare it? I proclaim to you new things from this time, even hidden things which you have not known. They are created now and not long ago. And before you today, you have not heard them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them. As humans, every one of us are so good at taking the things of God and making them our own. We take his provisions and his providential care and his protection and his wisdom and his mercy and his grace, and we label it as something that we have done for ourselves. We set our hearts against him, hardened in the deceitfulness of our own arrogance and animosity to the holiness and the commandments of God. We declare that we can take care of ourselves with only the help of that which we make with our own hands and our minds and our wills. We set ourselves against the plan and purpose of God because we think we know better than the omniscient Creator of heaven and earth what is best for our lives. We want the control and we want the glory for ourselves. So we find that our hearts are hardened to the hand of God operating in and around us, despite the fact of all that He has done and all that He continues to do. As a further delineation of this hardness that becomes part of even those who know the working hand of God, please open now to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church at Rome, Romans 2, 3 through 8. In this passage is highlighted the attitude that needs to be broken in each one of our hearts before the throne of God's grace. Romans chapter 2, verses 3 through 8. And do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment upon those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance in seeking good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. The apostle goes on to highlight exactly what the Lord did through the hardness of Pharaoh's heart in Romans chapter 9, verses 17 through 24. This needs to be a lesson to each one of us as to the fact that what the Lord chooses to do in His sovereign will and knowledge of the end from the beginning. We are not to be foolish and to think that if we harden our hearts, that God will just let it slide. We need to beseech Him to work in us to the full extent that all hardness and bitterness and obstinacy will be dealt with in order to make us those soft and pliable creations who honor Him alone. Romans 9, 17 through 24. For this scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who resists his will? On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this, will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so in order that he might make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom He also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. From the very beginning, God had in His heart to include both Jew and Gentile in the salvation ministry of His only begotten Son. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart was not just for the sake of the release of the Jewish nation, but to usher in all that would bring forth the Messiah for the Jews and the Savior of the Gentiles, Jesus Christ. We finish our this morning back in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verses 2 through 13, where Moses proclaimed to the children of Israel the truth that what the Lord did in the hardening of the heart of Zion was fully in place in order to bring about the beginning of the conquest of the promised land. This was in full accordance with the faithfulness of God's word to His people. He kept them through those 40 years of wilderness wandering, despite the fact that the people murmured and complained and even rebelled against Him. Deuteronomy 29, 2 through 13. And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and all his servants and all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. When you reach this place, Sihon, the king of Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, came out to meet us for battle, but we defeated them. And we took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. So keep the words of this covenant to do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. You stand today, all of you, before the Lord your God. Your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the alien who is within your camps, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into the covenant with the Lord your God and into His oath, which the Lord your God is making with you today, in order that He may establish you today as His people, and that He may be your God, just as He spoke to you, and as He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So be it. Amen.